today really is where you either end up with a well done, thou good and faithful servant, or not. One of the two. We've learned a whole lot of things, gone over a whole lot of subjects. 13 different lessons on different subjects, different ideas, different focuses, and Satan will fight you on whether you continue or not. He does not want you to continue. You can sit and learn all you want. Just don't do anything with it. What's the difference? You know, if you don't do anything with it, you can know all you want. Your family might fight you on it. Even people in church might fight you on continuing in these kind of things. They may aggravate you. They may intentionally or unintentionally. But encouraging each other in this is probably one of the biggest things we can do to continue. Now, our own desires and our own wants and wishes are going to affect this a lot also, wanting us to go in other directions. Paul's final message. There we are, Paul's final message. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. That's one of Paul. I think Paul probably said a few things after that, but this is one of his final things he said to Timothy. He said, I've fought a good fight. Now you fight a good fight. You continue on as I've continued on. Before the song service, I had probably 10, 12 different verses that talked about continuing on in the work of the Lord. And there's about 200 different verses that tell, in one way or another, tell Christians and tell people to continue. Don't just learn things, continue. The Lord Jesus told his disciples to continue. Paul told Timothy, continue. Just before David passed away, he told Solomon, continue. The Lord's been doing great work, he told Solomon, and he'll continue to do great work if you continue to do the things that you know you're supposed to do. David didn't tell Solomon, here, start these new things. He said, those things that you already know, those things that you're already doing, those things that God, you know, God has already blessed, do those things. And if you don't do those things, then we won't get into all that. We all know what happens. We all know there's great problems. Should we not continue? Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. That doesn't mean you're not saved if you don't continue, but it does mean that you're not being a discipler, that you're not being a witness. It does mean that you're not being obedient. The first thing that we ought to continue with is continue in the word. It's all in your book. We have gone through, 200 pages of this already? You know how the whole system works. Continue in the word. If you don't continue in the word, just give up now. Go home. Why are you here? Why am I here if I'm not going to find out things from the word? Receive the word. Don't just come and listen and say, okay, I did my Christian duty today. Here I am. And I know you folks are here in Sunday school. You'll be here on Sunday night. Most of you will be here Wednesday night. I was amazed how many people were at the services all this past week. Almost the whole church was here. Some people had to work, things happened and all that, but there was a good number of people here. I was glad to have that. But receive the word. Don't just sit and listen to it. Say, okay, Lord, what do you have for me from this today? Don't just listen. God, what is it you're telling me? You didn't ask me to come here for no reason. The Lord asked you to come here for what? To receive his word, so that you would get something out of it. Second thing, study the word. This is probably more difficult than receiving the word, because you'll show up at church, because if you don't, somebody's going to be on the phone saying, where are you? Where have you been? Probably. And if they haven't, it's because, we'll get into that either. But you can go from day to day to day and never open the word of God personally yourself, and no one's going to know but you and God. That's all. That's the only people that are going to know. Study the word, receive the word, and last, apply the word. Y'all got all smart. That's Southern language. I'm from the North. I've learned that Wesley taught me that. Y'all got, Wesley taught me that. No? Apply the word. After you've studied the word, after you've found found a truth, what good is it if you don't do anything with it? What good is it? What good has it done you or anyone else if you don't use it? If you don't find out what is it that God has for me today from His Word that I should do differently than I did yesterday? That's what the Word of God is for, is to change us. It's not to make us feel good. Oh, yes, I can check off my box. I did that this morning. Now, that does, I know there is some satisfaction knowing that every day you do get into the Word of God, but that's not the point. The point is, if I don't get something from God, why I've wasted my time? God, speak to me. Tell me something. Change my life. That's what I want. I want to be different than I was, because I'm not content how I am. If you knew how I was, you wouldn't be content with it either. If I knew how you were, we wouldn't talk anymore, probably. Continue in the Word. Apply the Word. The next section in our book there is continue following Jesus. And the two points in here are very close. Be fully surrendered. And what is it that the Lord Jesus doesn't deserve in your life? Is there anything? Does He deserve your time, your energy, your fellowship? Does He deserve all that? Yes, He does. Be fully surrendered to Him and be fully committed. Now, what's the difference between surrender and commitment? I don't know. That's what's in the book, so we're going to follow it. That's what, in case you needed to fill in a blank there. Be fully surrendered. Be fully committed. There's that song, I don't want to be a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian, or a Sunday morning Christian, or a Monday morning Christian, or whatever day a Christian you might be. I want a religion that fills me when? Every day. The last part is continue mentoring others. We're going pretty quick through this part of the book because it's gone over all before. We'll get into a couple other things in a minute here. Lead by your example. It's kind of futile to tell people they ought to be in service if you haven't been there. It's kind of futile and like a tinkling cymbal should you tell them, you know, you really should be in the Word of God if you weren't in the Word of God. Because who's the one that actually does the convincing? It's the Holy Spirit does the convincing. There's nothing I can do, say, or whatever to convince someone of anything. But the Holy Spirit can tap you on the shoulder when I say, Don, you really should be doing this, and I've done this. And you know I have, and you said, don't tell me. I've got enough on my plate. I don't do any more. But if I was to come up and say, Don, this, you really ought to do this, if the Holy Spirit gives you the message, then you're going to have the answer of the Holy Spirit. Yes or no, I'm not going to do that. But if it's just Rick telling him that, the Holy Spirit's not going to be there telling him. So hopefully he doesn't listen to a lot I say and listens to everything the Holy Spirit tells him to do. If you don't have the Holy Spirit guiding you and doing the things and leading you, and then you say, this is what God has me do, try this, it works. Then you're explaining, well, this is what the Holy Spirit can do. He did it for me, and He can do it for you. Lead by example, do things, and then share those things. Invest personally. Find somebody, anybody that needs something more from God. Who might that be? Anybody in here like that needs something more from the Lord today? That's, if not, it's because you're listening. Find somebody and say, Lord, what do I need to do? What can I do? What does he need? What does she need? How can I help that person? Is this something I should get involved with at all? And every now and then, you come across a situation where, you better just stay away from that one. But often, Lord says, I prepared you for this. I have set things in motion so that person would be in your path at the exact time right now, and you're prepared, they are ready. Now open your mouth and say something. Do this. I have blessed you with this $12.52 that you don't know where it came from, and that person needs $12.51. You get to keep a penny. And that happens all the time. How do other Christians, Acts chapter 2, how do other Christians help each other? Because that's the biblical way. A Christian has a need. It is no time at all. I can't tell you how many times that the Lord has provided something for us just when we needed it, not when we wanted it, not because we wanted something, but we do get an awful lot that we want, don't we? But if we have a need, or if another Christian has a need, and you have the ability to fill it, who in the world do you think you are to not help them? Whether it be spending time with them, whether it be helping them with finances, whether it be working on a piece of their equipment. Half of you have fixed your computers. I don't want money fixing your computers. I don't. Because God gave me that talent, and He gave you the need. If God wants me to have money, He'll give me money somehow. But I don't want you to at any time say, I can't go to Rick because I can't pay him. So what? You are a Christian and you have a need. You're the Lord's child. And He put me here with that knowledge and that ability. So why would you dare not make a meal for somebody that you actually could do? Well, maybe not all of you can't cook, but... But why would you not volunteer to make a meal or even make a phone call? Or if nothing else, if you can't make a phone call because you don't have a phone and you really can't cook and you know you can't cook, so I'm not going to try and cook, and you can't get over there, and whatever the reason might be, you can always remember them in prayer. Say, Lord, I don't know how to help them, but they need help. And I think the Lord does more work that way than He does any of the other ways, because that's Him working. Me fixing your lousy computer, that's just me. I don't know where I got this skill from. No idea, doesn't matter. There's no way that I can take glory in performing a miracle and providing your need. There's no way that you can take glory in Lord providing a need, fulfilling someone's desperate need, because you asked Him to. Well, what a thrill that is, isn't it? Sometimes you ask the Lord to do something and He does it. We miss out an awful lot because we don't ask Him. Invest personally. Find someone that needs something today. Say, what? Lord, give me somebody. Put somebody here. And it may be, and it happens quite often to me, it may be while you're trying to help them, they actually, you're the one that needed the help and you were too stupid to find out and ask for it. You were too proud to put this out that I need this. And so that other person said, oh yeah. And your need's taken care of because you put yourself out. Who knows what that is there, the red line? A couple people in this room probably know what that red line is. It's on a map. Appalachian, who said that? Good guess. That is the Appalachian Trail. All kinds of fun facts about the Appalachian Trail. You went on the Appalachian Trail, part of it, didn't you, just not too long ago? Why didn't you raise your hand? You knew what it was. Good answer. I got him up there. That's the Appalachian Trail. It runs from Mount KAT, whatever it is, in Maine, northern Maine, all the way down to Georgia. It actually continues from that, but that's what they officially call the Appalachian Trail. It's approximately 2,200 miles long. You didn't know you were coming for a geography lesson this morning, did you? No. The highest point is Clingman's Dome, 6,640-something feet, and the lowest is 124 feet. That's higher than everywhere any of us live. I think I live in one of the very highest places. I live 15 foot above sea level here. Anybody higher than that here? No, that's pretty much it. Lessons from a string. Wesley, I need your help.
Yes, sir.
I got a piece of rope back there. Did you get it for me?
Is
it very long? Yes. Lessons from a string. Now, I haven't done this in a while, and I have done it a few times, and most of the time I mess it up. go anywhere. No.
Oh,
I didn't come to tie you up, Wesley. No. Now, we have a limited number of days. I'll get back to you in a minute. But just don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Okay? Wesley and I are about the same age. 66, we are, right? Somewhere in there. 65, you are, right?
I'll be 66.
Yeah. Anyway, we all know. Tell Marcia she's the one that makes the birthday cakes. We all have a limited number of days. I don't know how many more days I have. Could be today's my last. Could have another 3,000 days. I don't know. Maybe not 3,000. That's a lot of days, isn't it? I don't know. But one day I know either I'm going to pass on or the Lord's going to take me up or it's going to be over. There's no question about that. I have just so much time and I have just so much influence. There's people I can reach and there's people I can't reach. There's people that are too far away that I can't reach. There's people that I have been rude to I'll never reach. There's people that that I will never be able to have contact with just because they're, I mean, there's what, 6 billion people in the world? Can't meet all of them. You know, if you meet several thousand, you're doing pretty good, probably. But this rope here kind of represents how long our life is. And we can't make this rope any longer. Nothing you can do to make this rope. You can pull it and stretch it. And even Wesley, you couldn't make this rope any longer. Unless you unwove it or something, you know, but you probably could. And if you wanted to have some a rope made longer and Wesley was there, he'd figure.
I'm limited to what I can.
Okay. But just think you have, I'm going to hand that to him. Now just hold on to that rope, and if I pull on it, you have to let it slide through your hand. Okay, you can't hold on to that rope and not let go. Not allowed, because that's
my job.
That's
you let it go.
Go hand that to the right there. Doesn't matter who. Now these are the people that my wife has contact with. Okay, now grab the next section and take it down. Hand it to somebody else. These are the people I have conflict with. I have contact with. I have influence in their life. Just that many people. And you notice it ends somewhere. And as much as she wanted, she just finally grabbed it. Now, that's just, who thinks that God has a perfect plan for your life? He said, this is exactly what I would want you to do in your life. And if it was all listed out, which it isn't, but if in his life, in his book it is. I would just love to look at God's books, wouldn't you? Some of them. Some of them have all the things in there that I don't want anybody to know about. But that is God's plan for my life. Now suppose, let's make it Wesley's life because I pick on him all the time. Suppose Wesley decides, this is God's perfect plan, but that's not what I want to do today. Today, I think I am going to plant corn. Huh. Okay, now you can't hold on to it tight. You got to let go. Let it slide through your hand. You weren't supposed to let go, but that's it. It's only so long. And instead of that, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to do this. And you can't let go. You got to hold on tight. Okay, so now we've got one person that I no longer have enough time or light or influence left. I'm sorry. Anything I can help you with is just too bad. Suppose at another point in my life, or Wesley's life, we'll pick on Wesley because I never do anything like this. You decide that you're going to go and not listen to the Lord at all. You're going to go your own way for that whole week. And now we've got, I didn't even get married. And now you've got, your influence is down to two people. And then there was some people on the outside that we couldn't reach because I don't know them. I don't have influence over their life. Down to two people. Why? Is that my fault? Yeah, it's my fault. Is it God's fault? No, he had it all planned. gave me all the tools I needed. He gave me the strength I needed. He gave me the words, the capability to speak that I needed. Just as he told Moses, it was Moses, who made your lips? Who made you like you are? I gave you everything you needed to do. And I had planned for those people to be in your influence and those people to be reached, those people to be the ones that you would be able to mentor, be able to be with.
Can I think?
You can.
Okay, now if I had to do this again, you guys are rubber pick again. Instead of going from just 5 people in my life, I start there and go up down the road and get more people involved in my life. Does that make sense?
Yep, I'm not done.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Here, hold on to that in place of. Here's where it gets a little more interesting. Although that's all that I can reach now because whatever the reasons may be, I still have the chance to take on a missionary and say, I can't get over there, but you can. There's no way I can go to Africa, but you can. And you've said the Lord asked you to go. I can hook on to here, and I can hook a rope on here, and I can toss it over to a missionary going to Africa, going to Japan, wherever they may be going. And now my influence goes all the way over to Africa where I could never go. I can't do anything about all that. I mean, that's just, it's gone. Time's gone, influence is gone, but I can extend my influence over to wherever to extend it to, wherever the Lord leads me to extend it to. We had missions conference. Did you extend your influence over to someplace other than just your own path or not? And if you didn't, well, it's not too late to do that. Did you pray for the missionaries? We have lists of missionaries. Did you pray for any of them? Do you even know who they are? Now, that's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Because some of you don't. Some of you couldn't name 5 missionaries if you had to. So God, if I had to, now this is a confession, if I had to, I could not name 5 Major League football game teams. No chance. Never watched a full football game my whole life, and I'm planning on continuing that. No interest in the way. Do you know your missionaries? Do you know who they are? You may have support. Well, I'll support missions. Well, who are they? Do they need your prayer or do they need your money? Which one? They really need both, but if you were to confront them and they honestly answer, which one would they rather have? The prayer, because God can dump a boatload of money out of an airplane on top of their hut in downtown Svengoole, Africa, if necessary. And would that be a problem? God could do that. He could cause a bread truck to break down in front of an orphanage easily. Not a problem. And he does that kind of thing. Okay, you're my friends now for life. And put that away, Wesley. Thank you. We're going to be done a few minutes early, but continue to do the things that you know, first of all, and study to find out what things don't I know, and then apply those things. Okay, I now know this is what I should be doing. I found a verse this morning. Don't you hate it when you wake up at 3:00 in the morning and you don't know why? I knew I wanted to get up a little bit early, but 3:00 wasn't the time I had in mind. But I got up, and Lord gave me a verse that showed me, and it's I forget where it's at. It's in my notes here somewhere. But it tells me that I don't dare. Most of you are like that too. You couldn't remember it either. Okay, I don't know what. Don't you hate that when that happens? The Lord is telling the prophet, saying that if you're obedient, it's in David Solomon's time, if you're obedient to my words and continue in the things that I've given you to do, I'm going to give you leaders that you can follow. And if you don't, I'm going to turn your heart and your leader's heart away from the things of God. We wonder why our country is like it is. You can blame whoever you want, but that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that it's because of our hearts we don't have a leader that we can trust, a leader that follows after the things of God. Why was it that, regardless of which one of the founding fathers of the country, why was it that you can point to them, or time after time after time, phrases that they said, which are godly phrases, which are scriptural phrases? Why was it? Because it was, the country was founded on that. That was the majority of the people. Now, everybody's not born again Christian back in 1700s. Of course not. But the people said, we want to start a country that serves God. I want to start a country that serves God. Give us a leader that'll do that. And we ended up with some. We don't do that much. Now, the people in this room probably do, but I imagine there's a lot of people in the room that probably don't. Why is it that that homosexuality is such widespread, the drugs are such widespread? It's because it doesn't matter. Because you don't want to get me started on why homosexuality is wrong. You don't want to. Partly because I don't want to. It puts up a real stand against right and wrong. And I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I have a need to stand, but do you? Continue in the things that you've learned. Find out what God has for you today and do that. Don't do something else. Do what He said do today. Continue. That means you started doing it yesterday and you're going to continue doing it from now on. It doesn't mean entirely, okay, I'm going to stop doing. Now, there are things you need to stop. Continue in the things that you've learned and know wherewith you've learned them. Continue. That's the end of the book. Aren't you excited? Okay, we got 6 minutes till the bell rings. So if you go out in the hallway, there are other classes. 20 of the bell rings? This must be my watch is wrong.